The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Well, hello, America. There is some, I think, really exciting news. Last night, about, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I get a note from Mike Lee who said, I'm not going to vote for the health care bill. And he released that information, and I posted it on Facebook, and I want to read some of the Facebook post because people were not happy with him at all. However, it is because of Mike Lee and others like Rand Paul, et cetera, but Mike Lee was the final domino to fall that made the health care bill for the Republicans collapse. I want to read to you what people said on Facebook before 11 p.m. last night. Because about 11 p.m., the president tweeted, just forget about all of it. Let's just repeal Obamacare. And then we'll come back and look at it later. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to Mike Lee. We begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Cause we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Cause we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So we have to thank all of those Republicans that stood their ground, and it was really hard. I mean, you know, we are talking about, a situation where people are in they're in big trouble. People are struggling with their health care. They can't meet their bills. Last night on my Facebook page, over and over again, Mike Hilar wrote, we are so screwed. I'm paying $1,560 a month for my insurance and a $6,500 deductible for a lesser policy than I had before our politicians decided they could make decisions for us that they have no right to make. I am so frustrated.
Wow.
You imagine?
Wow.
Let me see if I have... let me see if I can find a couple of others. I mean, it was a lot of those over and over and over last night. And then people wrote, Mike Lee, you're a moron, not a Republican. Mike Lee, you're a traitor. The Republicans are on the hook to fix this. They campaigned on it. They have control. They also have the perfect smokescreen with the Russian nonsense. No excuses. Mike, find a way to do it, dude. Make it happen. You're going to make all the Republicans look foolish. You'll never have a better shot at fixing this mess than right now. Fix it. I will make sure personally that everyone that votes against repealing commie care and starting over. The Republicans promised it last three elections. They can't expect it to be perfect, just better. Little by little, let's make progress. What you idiots seem to forget is that these rhinos need to get on board or get run over by the Trump train. Mike Lee won't win his next election.
Can we not make perfect the enemy of good? Isn't it time?
Okay, so here's what happened. That's what people were writing before 11 o'clock. Then when Trump said, let's just repeal Obamacare and start all over, you won. You won. America, those of you who want a repeal of Obamacare, unless you know they find a way to screw this up, and snatch victory out of the jaws of, no, snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. We have a chance now. Repeal Obamacare and start again. Mitch McConnell says that's what he is drafting up now, the House version of the repeal of Obamacare.
And it's not the full repeal of Obamacare. Let's be clear about that. It is it does not repeal any of the regulations, but it does repeal all the taxes and a lot of the other things that are in there. The other thing is this bill was voted on in 2015, and the only sitting senator to vote against it, I believe, was Collins on the Republican side.
Right.
So if they lose Collins, which they can do, they can lose two people. they can lose one more. But the predictions, at least from people who are reporting on this, is it's got no chance to go through.
The repeal?
Yes.
Because
and it's not even a full
because,
repeal.
Well, then you know who the ones are. If they voted on it before and they will not vote on it now, they didn't mean it. And so now we know who needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't mean it the first time.
When they knew Obama would veto it, they voted for it to fool
you.
The American people.
Yep.
And now when they have a chance to actually do it.
Yes.
Now, they're going to get hit by bad, really bad CBO scores on this. They're going to get hit by, they're saying, the last time they tried this, they said that the premiums are going to go up by 100%. They said 32 million people will be without health insurance. And they're going to give all these really,
scary
doomsday
things.
Sort of scenarios.
Well,
of course,
how can they say that when they haven't done the replacement yet? Just the repeal's not going to do that.
Exactly.
To
and that's why it looks
so bad.
That's
not going to do any of those things.
Right. So they're going to have to, obviously, they have 2 years under this plan to come up with a replacement.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, whether they actually do that or not, who knows?
Yeah.
The issue, of course, is, which might scare people, is that if they lose in 2018, then
you have a problem.
Then you have a Democrat, potentially mm-hmm. a Democrat
yes.
House and Senate. Of course, still a Republican president that could veto it. But you might get a plan that's worse. And that's what
and
the establishment was arguing.
You probably have a president who won't veto more if it does indeed make things worse. By the way, this last one would have made things much, much worse. What they were talking about, increased taxes, they gutted. This is why Lee bailed on this, and he's going to be with us next hour and he'll talk about all of this. It gutted the Cruz Lee amendment, which was basically free up the free market, let the free market work. You can have all the other crap, but if you can just free up the free market, then there's a chance of lowering people's deductibles and getting them into some sort of healthcare plan that they can afford. And that's what people want. Quite honestly, I really, this bogus argument that people are going to be dying on the streets, Americans will not allow that to happen. It's never happened before. It won't happen. We won't allow that to happen. If you need medical care, you will get medical care through Medicare, Medicaid. We have those. They can expand those if we have to. But nobody is going to die in the streets. We want to cover those people who just cannot seem to get medical care. If you have pre-existing conditions, you're covered. When you lose your job, you're covered by something called COBRA. And it's not great, but it's at least the stopgap so you have some medical care.
And it's not great because it's outrageously expensive.
Right. But we can find some ways to help subsidize and get the people who actually need it because they have a pre-existing condition. The amazing thing that what they did to this Lee Cruz thing was they said it covered the way they wrote it was some crazy thing like it will cover pre-existing conditions. However, the insurance companies have a right to cancel people who have had serious health problems. Well, if that's a pre-existing condition, isn't it? I mean, that would, if I have serious health problems, I can't get health coverage. That's what I need. That's where I need help.
Well, and the complicated thing here, of course, is when you're insuring people who have pre-existing conditions, what you do not have is insurance.
Yes.
What you have is guaranteed expense.
What you have is Medicare.
Yeah. Well,
that's
what
you have.
Yeah, it's just you're just covering everybody, which is a totally different argument. Yes, it has nothing to do with health insurance.
And we can take care of people on Medicare. We can cover you. But for people who are saying Medicare for all, I don't want Medicare. Medicare is not good, but it is better than not having any insurance. But that's not what the average person wants, needs, or deserves. But somebody who is absolutely uninsurable, yes, we're going to give you Medicare. So you can get treatment.
And again, this is a bigger, this is not, what they're talking about here, even with the repeal of Obamacare, is not a solution.
No.
It is a stopgap to get rid of some of the really bad things that are in Obamacare, and I'd take it. But the bottom line is, these are not long-term solutions.
No.
Medicare is a Medicare is a terrible idea.
Horrible.
The idea that you cover every single person over a particular age is a terrible way to build a healthcare program. Medicaid is at least more rational. People who can't afford it get help, right? The idea that Bill Gates at 78 will get money for Medicare is absurd. It's completely ridiculous. Why the hell is the government involved in that? But we all have this idea that universal programs are good programs. They're not.
They're not.
They should be there as a last-ditch stopgap for people in real need.
This is the real problem in our country, is that we are looking to the government as the first resort instead of the last resort. Government should always be the very last resort. Because, quite honestly, look at what the government does, with an exception of the military. Look at what the government does. The government is always, and the bigger it gets, your local is probably better than your state, and your state is definitely better than dealing with the federal government. The bigger it gets, the worse it gets, because the more it doesn't care and the more it is disconnected from you. And so it's the last resort instead of the first resort. If the president wants to inspire people, which I think he can do, he needs to get up and give a speech about, I'm really torn. We need a Walt Disney. Walt Disney in 1955 started Disneyland, but in the same year he did Man in Space, which was a movie or a television broadcast. It was the first rerun ever to be on television. It was a blockbuster on the Sunday night Wonderful World of Disney. And then they reran it the next year because it was so big, and it was called Man in Space. And it was about how we could put a man in space, not even on the moon. The first one is just put a man in space. 1955, this captured the American imagination. They were like, that's incredible. Because of that, because Disney convinced the American people, it allowed John F. Kennedy to say, we can put a man on the moon and return him home safely by the end of the decade, because the Americans believed it. So if I may give some advice to Donald Trump, if you want to win, here's the way to do it. We're so beaten down. We are looking for, and he started kind of down this road yesterday, and it was good. The American, dream or whatever he started this week, where he was pointing out, let's get back to American
Made in
products.
America,
yeah, Made in America Week. Okay, so let's further that. And start highlighting the things that Silicon Valley can do and these great entrepreneurs and how people can reimagine healthcare. And then let's do an X Prize. We did SpaceX, and look what happened. We're not only taking off, but they are now landing those rockets back on a platform in the middle of the ocean, so we can reuse them over and over again. It's ingenious. That started because the government said, let's find a different way. SpaceX will offer a prize. Why can't we do MedX? Why can't we offer a billion-dollar prize to companies or a company that will reimagine healthcare? To make it cheap. You can't tell me that there aren't, look at
Do you see what's happening with Blue Apron? Blue Apron is, they're trying to gobble it. Amazon's trying to gobble it up.
Yeah.
Okay, because Amazon...
They're trying to gobble everything up.
Yeah, I know. Mm. So why would they do that? Because they know everybody needs food. They know everybody needs product. Okay, well, everybody needs health care. If it wasn't so regulated and we offered a prize, are you telling me that big companies, entrepreneurs, wouldn't come out of the woodwork from all over the world and say, here's how we can do it? Of course they would. Do you know how close we are to, you know, the Star Trek, what was that thing that Bones used to use where he's like, oh, he's got a failing liver. Yeah, tricorder.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how close we are to that?
Sad that I knew that, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh.
It's quite sad. My family must be proud of
it. Yeah. We're really close to that. Why? Because somebody offered a MedX-style prize to see if anyone could come up with that. And we're close. This is the kind of stuff the president should be talking about. The president should make us believe in ourselves again and show that it's the people of America that will figure this out and find a way out and not the government. If I could give the president any advice that he won't listen to, it would be that. Please, Mr. President, believe in the American people more than people believe in the government. Now this, South Korea's new government has proposed military talks with North Korea. This was the first formal overture by South Korea's new president. No immediate response from the North to the proposed talks, but the two sides technically remain at war. And we don't know what's going to happen in North Korea, but we do need to prepare for catastrophic breakdown. This week, get a Glenn Beck special. That's 1,000 servings of survival food for only $997. Now, that's less than a dollar per serving. That includes the breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, fruits, vegetables, everything that you would need. 1,000 servings of food. Call this number now, 800-942-2325, or preparewithglenn.com. My Patriot Supply is dedicated to helping you discover your journey through emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Call now and speak with a preparedness advisor and find out how you can begin your journey now of being self-reliant. I'm telling you, you are going to rest well every night once you begin this journey. You really will. Pat will tell you, I will tell you. Stu, have you done preparedness like we have? Like, are you a year's worth?
No.
I'm telling you, now that you have a family, both Pat and I felt this. When we finished our year's supply of food, you just...
Such a relief.
Especially now that you own a house, all of that weight falls off of you. You're like, whew, mm-hmm. I could lose my job, we could go through a depression, and my family will be good for a year. It's amazing. Find out how you can begin your journey now. Go to preparewithglenn.com or call 800-942-2325, 800-942-2325, preparewithglenn.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. 888-727-BACK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Mike Lee is going to be joining us here in just a second, which I can't wait to hear what the plan is from here. He wrote last night, after conferring with trusted experts regarding the latest version of the Consumer Freedom Amendment, I have decided I cannot support the current version of the Better Care Reconciliation Act. In addition to not repealing all of the Obamacare taxes, it does not go far enough in lowering premiums for middle-class families, nor does it create enough free space from the most costly Obamacare regulations. This is the biggest thing, and I talked about it yesterday on the think tank when we went through all of the revisions. It was doing nothing to reduce premiums, and that's the biggest problem. I mean, look. If Obamacare really had lowered the premiums for everybody and saved everybody $2,500 a year, do you think we would be talking about this?
Nobody would be for redoing Obamacare.
Well, I mean, not nobody. Except
for the purists. You would have a very hard time making a case. Mm-hmm. I would be still making the case about the Constitution, but it would be working in lowering the costs and insuring people. It would be very hard. It would be just a purist's argument. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. We must reduce the premiums. If the premiums don't go down, it's not worth changing. Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, we have some really good news on Charlie Gard today. Charlie Gard's parents remain optimistic following a brain scan that is going to determine whether he can have this experimental therapy. The scan took place at GOSH, the Great Ormond Street Hospital, where a U.S. professor of neurosurgery examined the 11-month-old boy yesterday. While they were studying the scan and other medical records, they have not yet decided whether they feel the boy could benefit from the treatment. But the doctor from America spent about 4.5 hours inside the hospital on Monday. Hospital said there was an honorary contract in place, meaning that for the duration of the visit of the doctor, he had the same rights as one of the hospital's own doctor. He was given full access to Charlie's medical records, hospital and clinical facilities, including diagnostic images. Meetings between the American neurosurgeon and the other medical experts are due to continue on Tuesday. What happens if this doctor says, yeah, I'm not optimistic. It's different than I thought.
I think that'd be really bad. That'd probably end it.
Where do we stand? I mean, I still stand for life.
Yeah.
But how do you make that case now to a socialized hospital?
Let them go to the Vatican.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason they can't go anywhere else and get treatment. Even if your tests show that there's nothing going on there's no mm-hmm. risk. The person's going to die anyway. Why not try the treatment?
Yeah.
It's at their expense. I can understand the socialized hospital saying, you know, no, we're not going to do these expensive tests. Fine. However, this is A, but why you oppose socialized medicine.
Somewhere else.
And B, you know, let them go to somewhere else. Yeah. Again, this has really never been about whether there's going to be some miracle cure for this poor kid.
It's whether to have a hospital tell you you're going to die.
Do parents have the right to be able to bring their kid to the facility of their choice for medical treatment?
Yeah. With money.
Especially when the alternate is death.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not one of those cases where the hospital is saying we need to give this kid basic treatment for a disease that we can cure. And the parents are saying, well, we'd like to try marshmallow fluff. We think that's going to cure it. Like, it's not one of those cases. Yeah. This is a case of death. Or the parents bring the kid to someone who, maybe it's a one in a million shot, but why not take it?
Look at this from the flip side. Why do we always feel justified to come in when somebody's like, cancer, you know, or cancer, and I'm just going to go on the power of prayer. And we always say, oh my gosh, no, you got to go give him treatment. The kid who had chemo several times, remember him? And the parents, he came to them and said, I don't want any more chemo.
Girl, like,
I think it was a boy. And he said, I don't want to go like this. I'm done with it. I don't want any more treatment.
And the parents
agreed.
And then the court forced the treatments on him.
Correct.
Remember that?
Yes. Forced him.
Yeah.
Now, what's the difference between that? The kid didn't have it. He'd gone through it over and over and over again. He wanted to go to Mexico for some experimental treatment. He didn't want to go that way. He wanted to try something else. We all know that you're giving chemotherapy, you're giving him poison. It's poison with the hope that the body dies after the cancer dies. You're starving the cancer to death by giving the body poison. So the body is poisonous. And as the cancer eats it, it dies first. That's the hope of chemotherapy. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
But it's worked a million times.
Yes, it has.
So it's not crazy.
Right. But sometimes, it is. It will be looked at as absolute barbarian treatment in the future.
But
it's the best we have.
It's the best we have, and it's been successful many times.
It's the best we have. Mm-hmm. But we don't allow people to say, I want to try another treatment. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. We won't allow them to make that decision. But here's a family who says, I want to try an experiment. I want to try this medicine on my child. And we're now standing in the way. I mean, the government, the people of Great Britain, their government is standing in the way saying, no, no treatment. It's the exact opposite.
Yeah, I mean, this one is 60 steps past these past cases we've talked about.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at least you can make the argument. And, you know, as a person who's generally libertarian when it comes to government, my idea is, look, there are going to be mistakes made. But as a society, we should err on the fact of the side of the parents and what they want. And as sad as that is, and there are exceptions to that, but they are very few. I mean, I think even though there will be terrible mistakes made because of that policy, I think you have to err on that side. That being said, I can at least understand the government's position. You know, you want to, here we have a treatment for a disease that works, and we can, it might be terrible, but at least we have a chance. At least that is a position of supporting life, right or wrong. You know, and we might say, hey, you know what, Andy Kaufman, you're going down to some crazy,
chicken place.
Well, it's not going to work. We know it's not going to work. We've looked into this treatment. It's nothing. And they're fooling you. While, again, a person should have the right to make that decision for themselves. You're talking about children. At least it's a position here of life. At least it's focusing on trying to save the person. This is something where they're focusing on trying to kill the person. There's no argument to be made that this kid should sit here and die when there's a possible treatment that could help, even if it's for a week.
Yeah, and because it's none of your business.
Yes.
It's none of your business. It's only the people's business because the hospital thought they had to pay because it is socialized medicine. But as long as the hospital doesn't pay, it truly is nobody else's business. None. Because if they want to spend $2 million and prolong the child's life for a month, they have a right to do that.
An hour, anything. I mean, we've seen how many times have we've seen how many stories of people who are in their dying breaths that change other people's lives? How many times have we seen this? You don't just extinguish life because it makes you, well, you know, we don't really want to. I can't even think of what their argument is.
Their argument is he's suffering.
He's suffering. However,
he's in pain.
Lots of people suffer. Lots of people suffer. And you know what? If you're right and this kid is going to die anyway, it's going to happen and nature will take its course.
And don't you think the parents have the best intention for their own baby?
Don't you think?
If they thought that their child was in intense pain right now, I really don't think they'd put it through.
Do you know any parent? I mean, that's sane. Any parent that can handle their children's pain?
No.
For my grandchildren, I have gotten down on my knees and prayed, Lord, give that to me. Please give that to me. For my grandchildren.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way people are.
And there are exceptions to these things where you have cases of abusive parents.
Yes.
Parents who intentionally want to inflict harm on their children. There, of course, are those cases. But I mean, this is a situation where these parents are living and dying by giving this kid one chance. And there is no earthly reason to not give them that chance.
Yeah, they're not trying to shirk their responsibilities. They're not trying to take the easy way out.
But it is
This is really the harder way.
Yeah,
it is. This goes to the British woman that was on television a couple of years ago when they were having a discussion about things like this in socialized medicine, being able just to snuff out life because your child is in pain and so they can kill your child.
True, no, and I think that if I were a mother of a suffering child, I would be the first to want, I mean, a deeply suffering child, I would be the first to want to put a pillow over its face.
Dr. Peter Evans is
as I would with, any suffering thing. And I think the difference is that my feeling of horror, suffering, is much greater than my feeling of getting rid of a couple of cells, because suffering can go on for years.
I'm sorry, I was just about to introduce another guest there, but that was that's a pretty horrifying thing to say, that you would put a pillow over.
Of course I would, if it was a child I really loved who is in agony. I think any good mother would.
That's going to cause some shock amongst people.
I don't know any mother who wouldn't say that if this was, there was nothing else that could be done, and
that's
it was
just not true.
Wow.
But that's where This is Margaret Sanger. That's where this all is. By the way, speaking of Margaret Sanger, it was brought up to me yesterday that Samantha Bee has raised $1 million for Planned Parenthood. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Okay, she sold the, what was it, Angry Woman or?
Yeah, she was involved in that whole, one of those t-shirt things.
Okay, so she came up with this t-shirt and she raised $1 million for Planned Parenthood. And I was talking to somebody yesterday and they were really demoralized by it. They were like, look at that. Look at that. And I said, may I just point out that she has a huge popular television show on the left. Everybody on the left loves Samantha Bee. Everybody, she's a very powerful mover and shaker on the left. Okay? Very popular show. She raised $1 million with great publicity and
Hillary
a television show.
Being involved in it, right?
And Hillary Clinton was involved. Mm-hmm. Okay? Huge. May I just remind you that we raised with just this audience, no other celebrity, no other press, nothing. Just this audience raised $17 million to save the lives of people in the Middle East, and we didn't sell a t-shirt. So let's keep things into perspective here. They had all the press, all the celebrity. They had Hillary Clinton, all of the outrage. Remember, we had none of that. There was no outrage to what was happening over in the Middle East to the Christians. Nobody seemed
People
to care.
People were ignoring it, yeah.
They were ignoring it.
And they had the noble cause of killing children on their side. So, wow, right. And that's all they could
So
muster.
They had rage. Huh. They had means, motive. Yeah. They had absolutely everything.
Media.
And they were selling a product, and they made $1 million. Whoop-de-doo. We had none of it. And this little radio group of people, you, raised $17 million. And by the way, you can still give $17 million. We have changed the lives. While they're going to use that money to kill people, we're using that money to save people. We have a pretty aggressive goal that we're going to be announcing in September, but I'd sure like you to still be involved, and I'm not going to sell you a t-shirt. It's just that you want to help set free these slaves that ISIS has taken. Things are getting much, much worse in the Middle East, and now, I mean, geez, these poor people, they have gone from ISIS. They went from Saddam Hussein to war to ISIS. Now to Iran. Now Iran has swept across and is all the way to Syria on the other side. And they are fighting in Iraq. And they are starting to round up people and kill them. We have a very short window of opportunity to free some people and get them to safety. And we need your help at mercury1.org. Just donate there, mercury1.org. Back in just a second, let me tell you about ZipRecruiter. If you own a small business, you know, you don't have an HR department. You don't have somebody who is out, you know, going to all the universities and going everywhere trying to find the most qualified candidates. You are busy doing your job. So now, how do you hire somebody? How do you find the right candidate? How do you know that the right candidate is even going to know that you exist? When it comes to finding the most qualified candidates, other job sites depend on candidates finding you. But ZipRecruiter is not a job site. ZipRecruiter is something that uses the job sites. You post on ZipRecruiter. You hit one button and it goes out and it posts on all of the job sites. Then it does something else. It goes out and it searches for candidates that are qualified for your job. Then it sorts through the ones that are qualified closest to you. And you can go and search through those. And then it separates those from the people who are actually answering just your specific job. So you're looking at qualified candidates from all over the country. 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. And there's no juggling emails or calls to your office. You simply screen them, you rate them, and you manage them all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. ZipRecruiter. You can try it for free. Try it for free right now. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Again, you can try it for free. It makes a difference. We hire people with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello and welcome to the program. Just talking about some of the celebrities in the news. R. Kelly has denied running a cult of young women housed in a series of rented homes. Didn't he? This is not the first time this has been charged.
There were some incidents earlier in his life.
Yeah, like a young girl, I think. And this is a sex cult of some sort where he's.
Aspiring female musicians. Living in a series of houses in Atlanta, Chicago, and forbidden from using their own mobile phones. Two sets of parents have gone to the police and try to win back their daughters, who approached the 50-year-old with the aim of furthering their music careers and ended up estranged from their families. The police have investigated, but the girls insist they are in love with Kelly, and as they are over age of consent, there is nothing law enforcement can do. Kelly's lawyer, Mr. Robert Kelly, is both alarmed and disturbed at the recent revelations attributed to him. Mr. Kelly unequivocally denies such allegations and will work diligently to forcibly to pursue his accusers to clear his name. When he was 27, he married a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. He's been tried for child porn and found not guilty on all counts. Is there anything? I mean, you're just accused of child porn, and you're found not guilty. Does that ever go away?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. That's a stain that is just never removed.
Yeah.
He's had a little bit of a return, I would say, though, over the years.
Has he?
I'd say he's had some celebrities have forgiven him to some extent. If I remember it, the child porn thing was more of the video he shot.
Yeah.
So that's more of
he calls the girls his babies, and they're required to call him daddy and have to ask permission to leave the house.
Oh, that's nice.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Boy, last night, Mike Lee came out and he said he and Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas were not going to vote for the bill. That was the death knell to the Obamacare bill, the replacement bill. And I posted it on Facebook and it got ugly. Quickly. If this doesn't pass, we're looking at single payer. Hopefully, Mike Lee gets voted out next election. There's no justifiable reason for your no vote. You're just putting at risk hundreds of your Republican colleagues from being reelected and paving the way for a Democratic majority in the House. If you have an objection to the current bill, then provide an amendment. Okay.
He did.
But then they changed it and he couldn't vote for it. Now, things have changed a bit since the president said last night about 11 o'clock, we're just going to repeal Obamacare with a 2-year buffer so we can come up with something and it doesn't provide a shock to the system. Okay, good. That's a good start. Mike Lee is here to explain his thinking and why. He said he couldn't vote no and what it means to you and your pocketbook. We go there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
One of the bravest men in the Senate, Mike Lee. Welcome to the program. How are you, Mike? Mike, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Thank you so much for your bravery and your leadership on this. You did provide an amendment along with Ted Cruz, but in the end, they changed it. And what was it that made you say, I just can't vote for this bill?
To me, one of the tipping points was the moment when the Consumer Freedom Amendment, this is the amendment that would have allowed people on the exchange to offer an insurance policy that a consumer would want to buy and an insurer would want to offer outside of the Obamacare regulations, outside of this oppressive regime that has made healthcare more expensive. They watered that down to say that any company that's going to offer a non-Obamacare compliant plan would have to put that in the same risk pool as the Obamacare compliant plans. The short way of describing my concern with that is that while that would reduce the cost of health insurance some in that area, it wouldn't do so nearly as much as it would if you just adopted the full Consumer Freedom Amendment as we had negotiated it. So at that point, I looked at this, Glenn, and I said, look, this bill, as they've now got it, it's moved further to the left. They have now gotten rid of about half of the tax hike repeals from Obamacare. They've added a bunch of other stuff to it that I have questions about, including $45 billion to be spent in some unknown way to deal with opioid addiction. And now they've watered down this key provision that I think was really important. It was at that point I realized this thing just keeps moving to the left, and I'm not going to support it in its current form.
Okay, so Mike, people aren't thinking about left and right. The people who are really affected by Obamacare, you know, if this bill, Obamacare, would have actually done what they said it would do, which was reduce everybody's insurance by $2,500, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. But people have gone up. Their insurance has gone up 140%. People have lost doctors. I got email last night saying, you know, I have a $6,500 deductible and I pay $1,500 a month for my insurance. I can't afford it anymore.
Yeah,
talk to them.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's why I have such concerns with this bill. This bill is really good to the insurance industry. It contains some provisions that some would describe as bailouts. I don't always call them that, but some would characterize them that way. It contains all kinds of relief for this or for that interest. The person it leaves out is the forgotten man, the forgotten woman, the middle-class American who's struggling to get by, who has seen healthcare premiums hike over and over and over again, even as deductibles have skyrocketed and coverage has become less pervasive. And this bill doesn't provide enough relief to them. I want to make sure that the forgotten man and the forgotten woman in America are forgotten no more, and that we get Washington, D.C. out of their way.
Senator, you by your framing of this argument, this bill would have relieved us of half of the Obamacare taxes. It would have relieved us at some level, lowered the cost of insurance and lowered premiums, not as much as you'd want, not as much as any of us would want. Why not just take what you can get and keep fighting?
First of all, once we get onto the bill, it becomes very, very difficult to change it. Now, I'm still convinced that we can pass something. I'm still convinced that we could pass either some variation of this bill with some changes made to it, changes that I believe would be relatively easy to make, or alternatively, that we could get onto a full repeal and just pass that. It's important that we actually do those things, because the further we diverge, the further we depart from what we've been promising for 7 years, what every Republican who has campaigned for any federal office since 2010, whether for the House or for the Senate or for the presidency, they've all campaigned on one consistent theme: repeal Obamacare. We've got to make sure that we're faithful to that promise.
Okay, so Mike, the skeptics now say that we can't repeal Obamacare. President Trump last night, I guess, was having dinner with a bunch of senators trying to get them on board, not knowing that you were writing your why we can't support this. And so his dinner last night was wasted.
Should have invited you, apparently.
Yeah, should have invited you. Now they're saying the president has come out, and so has, what's his name from Kentucky, McConnell. No. McConnell has come out and said, okay, we're going to repeal it now. A, do they actually mean the repeal as we understand it? Can we do that with 51 votes? And what's standing in the way?
I believe we can repeal it with 51 votes. We know that we can repeal at least two-thirds of it with 51 votes because we got that through the parliamentarian under this reconciliation measure in 2015. That's the one that President Obama vetoed. I also believe we could add to that one and get in some additional features. The Title I healthcare regulations, at least in part, could be added to those and get those repealed. As to whether we can get the votes, there are some who are expressing skepticism about that. But Glenn, I'm unwilling to assume that we can't get there just because some moderates don't like it.
Yes.
Just because some moderates don't want to have to vote for it or against it. I don't see any good reason why, when this is the one thing that has united Republicans for 7 years, why we should let anyone who has attained federal public office by campaigning on repealing Obamacare to walk away from a vote to actually repeal Obamacare.
Right. At least, as I said this morning, at least we know who they are. Right now,
exactly.
Right now, we're asked to compromise to the worst bill I could imagine Republicans could possibly present, and we're not making people stand on their promise. We need to know who is weak-kneed and who is lying to their constituents.
That's exactly right, and that's one of the reasons why I applaud Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and why I applaud the president in responding last night to this news by saying, okay, let's vote to repeal it.
Okay, so if they do repeal it, just pass what they had passed how many times before, will that reduce people's premiums?
It'll at least set in motion a sequence of events that will reduce people's premiums. We have to remember, Glenn, that when the federal government expanded its footprint in the healthcare industry rather dramatically with the passage of Obamacare, it made the cost of healthcare go way up. And it will do an enormous amount of good as far as lowering premiums if we can also get rid of the Obamacare Title I regulations. These are the regulations that tell insurance companies what they have to do.
Right.
In other words, if we were analogizing this to the car industry, you can't just buy a car. Everybody has to buy a car, but it can't be just any car. It's got to be a car that would have all the features of a standard issue Cadillac or anything more expensive than that. When we impose regulations like that, it makes it more expensive for everyone. It reduces competition. It's good for consolidation and big industry, resulting in $15 billion in profits in the top 10 health insurance companies in the last few years, down from $8 billion before Obamacare kicked in. These things are good for them, but they're bad for everyone else.
Mike, can I ask you a question just born of extreme frustration over
sure.
years of witnessing
with
this?
That lead-in, that sounds fun.
Why is it Republicans are so bad at defending their bills and their principles? Every time something comes up, we have Bernie Sanders screaming that thousands and thousands, 27,000 people a year are going to die as a result of what you're doing. Nancy Pelosi comes out and makes those statements. And I never see that stuff refuted by the Republican Party.
We run.
We tuck our tail between our legs and skulk back and say, oh, okay, well, we won't do that then. Why does that happen every time?
Well, you raise an important point, which is that when someone raises a ridiculous argument, the worst thing we can do is to not address it and then walk back on what we've planned to do.
Mm-hmm.
There are cases in which people make a ridiculous, absurd suggestion like that, where it almost doesn't even warrant a response. I mean, that's just absurd to say that we're killing people by changing the reach of the federal government, by saying the federal government shouldn't make every healthcare decision in America.
It is absurd, but the media buys into it and propagates it.
Sure, sure. But the very worst thing we can do in response to that is to say, okay, well, let's not do that then. Let's do something that's a little bit more like what Obamacare did, and that will suddenly make it better. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. I mean, look, we are supposed to be the party that believes in limited government. We're supposed to be the party that believes in federalism and separation of powers, that believes in freedom and free markets, that believes that free markets and civil society have done more to bring more people out of poverty than any government program ever has, ever could, or ever will. That's where we've got to be standing. And I think that's the direction in which we're headed insofar as we move forward with an actual repeal bill.
Two quick questions, Senator Mike Lee. One, these are brief. So, the 2015 repeal bill did not repeal any of the regulations. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. We believe we could add some or perhaps even all of the health care regulation sections from Title I of the Affordable Care Act to a repeal bill. There were a variety of strategic reasons why those weren't included at the time, some parliamentary difficulties we would have had at the time that we could overcome this time.
Okay, and last one. You see, there are 52 senators. We know Susan Collins voted against the repeal in 2015, so you'd only have one to lose. If everyone voted the way they did in 2015, do you have enough votes to pass this?
Yes. Yes, because at that point, even assuming Susan Collins still votes no, you would pick up Rand Paul, who would vote for a repeal bill. You'd pick up Jerry Moran, who stood with me last night. You'd pick up me. So if everyone else also votes for it, that would be more than enough that we would need. We'd still have 51.
One last thing. I want you to speak directly to the person who is a Republican who says, you've wrecked our best chance, Mike, of getting rid of Obamacare, and you betrayed the GOP and betrayed the president.
If you're going to make that assertion, back it up. If you're going to make that assertion, ask the question, why have Senate Republicans not yet voted on that which they promised for 7 years they would enact if given the opportunity? Why have they not yet voted even on the 2015 version of the repeal bill? You cannot accuse someone who wants us to do simply that which we promised of wrecking the effort to do that which we promised when that person, me, is simply advocating for us to do what we said we would do. That's all we're asking here. It's not too much to ask. Nor is it something that the American people should be asked to back away from. We've been asked to settle over and over and over again as Americans. I'm here to say it's not time to settle. It's time to expect more. It's time for us to keep our word.
Okay, one last. Now, talk to the person who's just barely hanging on. When is help coming, Mike?
Help is coming soon. Help is coming, I hope, within the next few weeks to the next few months when we can pass something that will get rid of the federal government's oppressive reach. We cannot solve all of our problems through the federal government. And in fact, what we see is that when we try to do that, when we try to pretend that we can do that, we end up making things worse. It ends up being really good for the rich and the well-connected, a small handful of big wealthy corporations and power brokers in Washington and a few other major cities will do really well anytime the federal government extends its reach. But everyone else tends to suffer. So the relief we can provide, the best relief we can provide from Washington, is to get Washington out of your way so that you can do what you do best and so that people will compete to provide health care services to you. When we have people competing for that to a greater degree than we have now, the price goes down and the quality goes up.
And
that's
you,
what we're after.
And you believe that you are now, or the president and Mitch McConnell are at least saying that they're on the same page with you. You're saying the same thing now. Repeal Obamacare, and we'll work on what we have to do after we repeal what was put in place.
That is exactly right. And Glenn, I want to emphasize this point because a lot of people will say, why did the Republicans not have anything on day one? That the problem with this is that the one thing that always has united us has been repeal. And that's what we should have done at the outset. There never has been widespread agreement among Republicans on what should come next. So we should start with what unites us. Repeal has united us for 7 years. Repeal needs to be the message right now, and repeal is the one thing we can achieve.
Okay, great. Mike Lee, Senator from Utah, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
You bet. I personally take this as a big win. This, you know, to see the president within 2 hours and Mitch McConnell by the next morning say, okay, we're going to repeal. I look at that as a huge, huge win.
Also, I will be introducing the Clone Mike Lee Act.
Boy.
We need it.
Now this, somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. By the end of this commercial, 30 people will have their identity stolen. Recent FBI report says that people across the country have lost over $1 billion to internet crimes and scams since 2015. Cybercrime is big business, and it touches almost everybody. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity thefts, and if there is a problem, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist to work to fix it for you. 15 people have just had their identity stolen from them. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock is the best, and if you act now, you get the added protection of Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock membership. So you get, you're making sure that nobody, like what the Russians are doing, are hacking in. And LifeLock. For a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. This is an incredible deal. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code BECK15. 30 people have now lost their identity. That's Beck 15. Save 15%. Terms and conditions do apply. LifeLock.com. Promo code Beck 15 or 1-800-LIFELOCK.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
I want to take a guy in Pennsylvania and your phone call. I really want to hear from you and what your perspective is now on what has happened with healthcare collapsing this last bill, and now the president and Mitch McConnell coming out and saying, okay, let's just repeal Obamacare. Is this good news, bad news? How are you feeling? Let's go to Guy in Pennsylvania. Hello, Guy.
Mr. Beck, it is an honor to talk to you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Longtime listener.
Thank you. Thank you.
I applaud Mike Lee, Rand Paul, and the other two senators. We're standing their crown and their principles. Repeal is the only way. Free market is what creates competition, and that's the only light I've seen in this tunnel that we're in.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree with you, Guy. I'm wondering those people who, you know, if I'm paying a $6,500 deductible and $1,500 a month, and I've lost the insurance that I had and the doctors that I had, I'm not sure I'm listening to reason. I want relief right now, and I'm not sure that anybody has articulated enough in the language of the common man that they see there was no relief coming their way. This was not a good bill that was going to help them. This was, again, going to help the insurance companies.
Oh, yes, of course. My company pays over $1,500 a month for me and my wife with a huge deductible and a high copay. That is the best insurance they can get me.
Yeah. It's got
to. I have to applaud my company because they have given us raises in the past 4 years to help the cost of living as well. So I applaud my company.
Thank you. What's the name of your company, real quick, Guy?
ECM Transport.
Great. Thank you very much, Guy. I appreciate it.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
I really want to hear your point of view because it's important that we listen to each other and we listen to what is happening in everyone's life, because it's easy for, like, the last guy who just called, you know, he works for a good company or a fortunate company. I mean, I know a lot of good companies who can't afford to do that. The healthcare costs have gone through the roof and they don't know what to do. On the other hand, the guy we hired from for HR, one of the guys we hired, we hired two HR people here, and I sat down with him and I said, listen, I hate HR because it's always about filling out papers because you're about to be fired. Or it's you're coming in to either tell us how we have to sign up for insurance or that the insurance has changed and it's worse. I said, so I've never had a good experience working for companies with HR departments. And I said, look, here's the thing I want you to work on. Most important, the only two things that are important to me. One is culture, and the second is healthcare. And I want to find a way to up our healthcare and reduce the cost to both the company and to the employees. And Mike told me, he said, you know, I worked for a company that was just the opposite. I don't know when he worked for him, but he worked for some company that was telling that he was in a board meeting, and the board of directors said, well, let's just cut the insurance. And the board was having an argument, and half was saying, you know, we can't cut the insurance. That's a really good perk and benefit. And the other half was saying, well, don't they have that Obama thing? They're so out of touch. So I know there are really bad companies and there are really good companies, and they're doing everything they can, and some can't afford it. But if you're lucky enough to work for one that can afford it, you're looking at this differently. You're looking at this as a little more academic, like I had been looking at it. We have to listen to the people who are really struggling, hear their point of view, and then find a way to move forward with them, because they are the ones who are impacted the most. So how can we help them, and how can we reach them and listen to each other? The thing about talk radio is talk radio has given you, it started out in the 90s with Rush Limbaugh doing a great thing, something that nobody else had ever done. Giving you the arguments that you needed to persuade your friends. Well, those were in the days when we had friends who were on the other side. Now, talk radio is just feeding us the same thing that we give to our own echo chamber and reinforces our own views. We have to expand the tribe. So it's not enough to give you the argument that you understand. We have to give you the argument that people who are not on our side or not in the bandwagon, we have to give you that argument, because that's how we expand and that's how we grow. And the first part of that is listening to each other first. Ian in North Carolina. Hello, Ian. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Glenn. How you doing?
Very good, sir. What do you think of what happened last night with the collapse of this plan, and now the president and Mitch McConnell saying we're going to just vote for a repeal of Obamacare and that's it?
Well, Glenn, I've listened to this debate back and forth, back and forth. I voted for Trump. I've always tried to be objective. I think people need to give him a chance. And, you know, I know the media puts their spin on everything, but, you know, my mind goes back to 2008, 2009, when, you know, the Democrats pushed Obamacare through, and I remember it was like a 700-some page bill, and they said, oh, well, you know, we're just going to pass it through. We'll read it later.
Right.
You know, nobody even just get it passed. I mean, there was no thought put into it whatsoever. And I got to give it to the guys that are in there now, the guys and gals. I mean, they are really, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I think that they're trying to put their best foot forward, and they're trying to get what's best for the people. That's my opinion, and I think people need to remember that. Listening to Senator Lee earlier on your program, I mean, that was inspirational to me.
Wow.
I mean, I'm a working class man. I came from a working class family, and this has really hit us hard. It's really hit us hard, and you know, the working class people just need some relief.
Yeah, they do. Thank you, Ian. I appreciate it. Bob in Florida, welcome. Go ahead.
I want to know how come you don't hear people refer to Obamacare as a welfare program. To me, that's all Obamacare is. It's a welfare program, which if you are on it and you're only paying $50 a month for your family to have full coverage, yeah, you're going to love it. But if you're one of the people like me and a lot of other people that are paying $1,200, $1,500 a month for your family, and you can't even afford to go to the doctor because you're paying so much in premiums, and then you see someone saying, oh, don't take away my Obamacare. Don't take away. You're going to murder me. You're going to murder me. Well, what about me? I mean, I'm working my butt off trying to pay my bills and pay my insurance, and you get it for free. You know, so to me, that's all Obamacare is, and that's why the Republicans have a hard time repealing it.
Bob, thank you very much for your phone call. You know, that's the thing. I don't know if people really understand the formula of the forgotten man, but it's really, this is what Mike Lee was talking about. And Bob, you're talking about the forgotten man, the guy who is in there just playing by the rules and working hard and paying his own way. When person A, the government or the politician, sees person C, which they can give stuff to bring them into their tent and keep person A in power, what they do is look for person B that they can take stuff from and then give to person C. So now person A and person C are fine and they're happy. Hey, whoa, 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 says person C. Don't take away my Obamacare, saying it to person A. Don't worry. Don't worry. Those who want to take it away, they're just evil people. And person B is the one in the middle getting squeezed and nobody cares about him. And that is the one that we're looking at. We need to look at person C, who actually needs it, and get the riffraff out that don't actually need it, just want it. We take care of the people who are really hurting, and we take care of the people in the middle by setting them free and setting the market free to be able to bring the prices down. The best example is LASIK eye surgery. LASIK eye surgery was $600 a procedure about 4 years ago. It's now about $90 a procedure. Why? Because no insurance company would pay for it. And so the price of the average LASIK surgery came way down. That's what a free market does. That's what needs to happen with all of healthcare. Nikki in Georgia. Hello, Nikki. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, Glenn. Such an honor to talk to you guys.
Thank
33-year-old mother of two, married. My husband and I run a landscaping firm, small landscaping firm here in Atlanta. Hmm. My little boy, 3 years old, was born with spina bifida.
Wow.
Because we're self-employed and my son has 5 therapies every single week I have to take him to,
wow,
along with some school therapies. I can't go get a job and get health insurance. What used to cost us before Obamacare, it used to cost us $300 to cover our family. Now would cost us $1,600.
Oh,
we can't afford it. We are the forgotten people. My son is the forgotten kiddo. We are stuck in the middle and there's nothing we can do about it. And I want to commend Mike Lee for standing up. That was not the right way to go about it. And people like us are so thankful. But there has to be a better way, and the free market is the answer. We want to work. We want to pay for these things, but it can't be done the way it's being done. And we have to not let families like mine, who are hardworking, we pay our taxes, we do everything we can to help our little boy just get the therapies he needs, the braces on his legs. He can't walk. We've got to help him, and I need the free market to help us help him.
Nikki, I just love you. Thank you so much for your call and the best of luck. What's the name of your business? She's gone? Shoot. Well, thank you. I wish I would have known. Call back and give me the name of your business so we can give you a plug in Atlanta. I think that is, I love your attitude of here you are in dire, dire need, but you're saying we want to work for it. We just need the free market to fix this. Now this, American financing. When it comes to buying or refining, most people get stuck in a paper-driven process. You need a different mortgage experience. You need somebody who is actually looking out for you and will do the right thing for you. Stu, tell me your story with American financing.
Well, I went to American Financing along with a bunch of other companies and asked them, for the rates. And they came in really good rate, and they really were great with customer service. And they walked me through the entire process, and they were fantastic. And kind of last minute, because of the way my mortgage is structured, which is bizarre, and you should never structure a mortgage that way.
You shouldn't. He doesn't want to put any money down.
I want to give them no money. Anyway, the way I structured it in a very strange way. And because of that, there was one company that came in last minute that had a slightly lower rate. And so I brought it to them and American Financing. I said, look, here's what I have. Here's the paperwork. They actually went through all the paperwork, looked at it all and said, you know what? I think you should take that one.
Now, the reason why they do that, and they did that with Stu, is they're not getting rich off of you taking their mortgage. Okay, they're salary based. So they want to do what's right with you. And knowing American financing, what they were saying is, if a bank is dumb enough to give you that, you should, because I think they said run to it, didn't they?
I believe they did, yeah.
That's American financing code for you've got a sucker on the line, and if they're willing to give you that, go for it. But they were, with Stu, with an exception of the sucker bank, they were right competitive.
Yep.
Except they wouldn't go this extra step. And the reason why those banks go that extra step is because they have salary-based people and they've got things they've got to hit, and so they will jam you into anything.
I mean, commission-based, yeah.
Commission-based, mm-hmm. which hurts you and the bank in the long run. It's why I've not taken financing companies before, and I waited. The American Financing wanted to do business with me before 2008, and I said, you guys are all going out of business, and they're like, we won't. And I said, oh, yeah, watch. When the financial markets crashed, they were fine because they didn't do things like Stu just encouraged a bank to do.
Nobody said I was smart.
American Financing. They're now also doing reverse mortgages, and reverse mortgages might be a good way to increase monthly cash flow for your situation. There's no mortgage payment, and you still retain the ownership of your home. How does it work? Find out. But remember, they're not trying to sell you anything. They want to show you your options and find the best deal for you. Call their number now, 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440 or AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS, 182-334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
By the way, if you happen to be in Georgia, in Woodstock, Georgia, the woman who just called us a minute ago, thank goodness we have caller ID, she was calling from the Overstreet Lawn Care. Her name was Nikki, and she has the child with spina bifida. And if you you have somebody cut your lawn or you're doing something landscaping, check them out, Overstreet Lawn Care.
Do they travel? Can they make it to North Texas?
Yeah, because
North
Stu
Texas?
Has to start mowing his lawn now because he owns
that's
the
dump. Right. That's right.
Never. He just bought.
Never.
Wow.
Actually, I would not feed my family before I started mowing lawns. I would actually use my last
stand.
Dollars.
It's a good, strong stance.
I wouldn't mind doing it up north, but down here, I don't know how. I'm missing a tile on my roof. I've got a tile that blew off on the last storm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how hot that roof is? I put a ladder up, and I'm like, ow, 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 ow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Do I need like an asbestos suit to go up?
Are you trying to tell us that you actually went up on your roof?
No way.
With my son-in-law, I held the ladder.
Yeah.
So how did you feel the roof if you held the ladder?
Well, I went up first and touched the roof.
And then you got him.
And then I said, hey, Tim, bring some gloves, will you? Yeah. Oh, they only fit you? Small hands.
This is going to be dead. This Obamacare repeal is going to be dead.
That's unbelievable.
We're off the air
we've got to put pressure.
No. I want to go through this list. This is the greatest celebration of all time because there are new people that come in, but they have 49 votes of people who have already voted for this multiple times.
Upwards of 50 in some cases.
Yes. So they voted for this over and over and over again when they knew Obama would veto it. Then they went home to you and said, hey, I'm with you.
I want nothing more than to veto this thing. Repeal it.
We have tried. We voted 50 different times to repeal it, and the president won't do it. That's why we need the White House and the Senate and the House. Now you're going to find out exactly who meant it. Now you find out who the real weasels are, because all they have to do is vote for the bill they have voted on multiple times when they knew the president would veto.
Yep. So they knew the whole time and they told you, give me money, vote for me, because if I get the chance, I will repeal it. Now they have the chance to do it.
and you're going to watch these people fold in the next. This is going to be dead by the time we're off the air next hour.
Okay, so I want you, we're going to give you the list. We're going to show you who's already folding and who already voted for this multiple times. But now they have a new excuse. You know what the deal is? Because they know the president will sign it this time. So now you find out who the big government progressives really are and the ones who were lying to you when they asked you for money and your vote.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
So, Stu just bought a new house over the weekend. Pat, do you think he knows that the dollar tumbled last night?
Doesn't seem like it.
I mean, that could be the first sign of collapse.
How would I know that if it happened last night and I bought it on Friday?
Last thing you'd want to do is buy a house at this point, don't you think, Pat?
Especially in a really nice neighborhood and a really nice subdivision. You wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah,
right? You wouldn't want that.
Because if you do that, then...
I agree.
You'd want to go economical right now. Yeah, you want to go to where the regular people are going to need a house.
Yes.
But a fancy house.
No, you don't want
to. So he said last hour that he's not willing to mow the lawn. What an elitist. But not willing to mow the lawn. And he's been pointing out that the bank owes 90%, you know, owns 90% of his house. Call the bank and tell them that you want their 90%. You want them to mow that 90% of the lawn.
Yeah, I like
that. Why aren't they doing it?
Yes.
Okay. Also, healthcare failed in the Senate yesterday, the healthcare bill. Now we are back to the president says last night, let's just repeal it. Yes, Mr. President. Yes. Here is a time that all those who have been asking for us to support the president, we told you when we believe he is on the right track, we will support him. We support him without any kind of equivocation on this of repealing Obamacare 100%. Now, how can we make it happen? We'll show you right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Look, I encourage everyone else to talk about the Russian thing. I encourage CNN continue to yap about the Russian thing. Go for it. We're going to talk about healthcare and what can really be done. What needs to be done is anything that will reduce the cost of the average person's healthcare.
And what we said last week, I think, applies even more now. Let them focus on Russia all they want. That makes this the best time to repeal healthcare because they're not paying attention.
Right.
So just and repeal it now.
And so here's what happened last night, in case you don't know. Mike Lee and the senator from
Jerry Moran, Kansas.
Came out last night and said they're not going to vote for the reform. And quite honestly, in my opinion, they shouldn't have. Why? It brought back taxes that had already been taken out. The Democrats allowed taxes to be taken out, and this bill actually put two taxes back in. Then it also gave, I think, $85 or $45 billion just for opioids, and it was just to help with opioids. Are we selling them and helping people get them? Or what was the plan? It was very nondescript to try to get people off of opioids.
I think it was a pool of money just to dole out to
just
senators
to dole out.
Who are having a problem with that in their states.
Correct. And we are having a problem with opioids. And we need to deal with that. But not just some giveaway. There were a couple of things in there that were good. One of them was the Cruz-Lee bill. And would make it somewhat tolerable if they would have left in what Cruz and Lee put in, which was you got to let the insurance companies free to offer things that are not covered in Obamacare, that doesn't have the Title I restrictions that says, you know, every man has to pay for maternity insurance. He's not going to get, he's not going to have a baby. So he doesn't need that. And to take the things out that you don't need, depending on your sex and your age. Also to let them compete, insurance companies. They took that out. Well, now there's nothing but raising of taxes. There's no relief for anybody who is actually suffering with a very high deductible now and also a high monthly payment. Where's the relief there? That's what we should be shooting for. Okay, so it fell apart last night about 8 o'clock. 11 o'clock, the president came out and said, let's repeal Obamacare. Just go for a straight repeal. Now, here's what's great. We've already passed that. How many times? Sometimes, I think in some cases, up to 50 times this is passed. They have passed it in the House and the Senate over and over again. They have come up with this bill. They have campaigned on that bill. We are going to repeal Obamacare. To prove that to you, they have continually passed it when they didn't have the White House, because the White House was going to veto it under Barack Obama. And they all knew that. So then what? So then they went out on the road, and all of these Republicans, all of them, went out and said, we've already done a repeal bill. Now, if we can just get the presidency, if we can keep the House and the Senate and the presidency, we're going to be able to push that bill through. We're going to go ahead. We can repeal Obamacare. And as Mike Lee said earlier today, that's what united the Republican Party. So there are 49 senators that have already voted on this repeal bill, the one that has gone through up to 50 times. They have 49 senators have already voted on it. There's two new senators that have not voted on it, but they both ran. Is that right?
Yeah, let me walk through you real quick.
Okay.
54 senators in 2015 that voted on this exact bill that they're okay, talking 54. About proposing. Okay. Two Republicans voted no. That was Kirk, who is now gone and replaced by a Democrat. So that's going to stay a no. And Collins, who has already announced her opposition.
Yeah.
That gets you to 52 possibles. Okay.
Okay.
Of the 52 possibles, there are three senators
that have already voted. 52 possible that have already voted.
They've all voted yes.
Yes.
Okay. So three of them, however, are different senators than they were in 2015.
Yes.
Those three are Coates, who left in Indiana and is now replaced by Todd Young.
Which is a Republican?
A Republican.
And voted on repealing Obamacare.
Well, he's a new senator.
Yeah, because he's new.
So, yes. So Coates is gone, but we don't have any vote from Young yet.
Yeah, but we know that if you were running for anybody in Indiana, just let us know. I'm pretty sure anybody who is running this would last time would have said they're running repealing Obamacare.
Then you have Vitter, who is gone in Louisiana, replaced by Kennedy. And then you have Sessions, who is, of course, in Alabama, has been replaced by Strange, Senator Strange.
So, go ahead.
If you have all three of the new people to vote no, you'd be down to 49. Okay. Now, many of them, I'm sure, ran on repealing it, so that you'd assume they'd vote yes, but they're not on record disagreeing with their own vote with a no.
Yes.
Now, we already have Senator Capito from West Virginia, who has come out and said she will reverse her vote from 2015.
Okay. Now, I want you to hear. These guys are all on the record as voting
weasels
to repeal.
Mm-hmm.
And when they voted yes to repeal this bill, they knew they had a president that was going to veto. So there was no consequence of voting.
They knew it wouldn't get repealed.
Correct. So what they did is they voted time and time again to repeal it and then go home to you and say, you need me. In Congress, you need me in the Senate. I need your support. I need your money. The GOP needs your money. We need your vote because I got to go in there and I've already voted. And if you elect me, I'm going to vote again. We're going to repeal it.
Weasels.
So these are the people now that were lying to you then, took your money, took your time, and took your vote and lied to you.
Mm-hmm. And hear me clearly, people of West Virginia, which is where Capito's from. This is a state in which Donald Trump won 68-26. Donald Trump is asking for this repeal to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And your senator right now is saying no, even though she already voted for the same bill when she knew it wasn't going to pass.
She's opposing her president.
Right. So we're not the ones that always say you got to support the president, whatever. But Trump supporters understand that the people who are now obstructing this have already voted for it. If you're in West Virginia, she already voted for it. Then she ran again on repeal. Now you voted by 68% for Donald Trump, and now she's opposing the president who is asking her to do that which she has already done.
Under the lame mm-hmm. pretense that, oh, I didn't come here to hurt people.
Yeah, that was
shut
her statement.
Up. Well, shut
first
up.
Of all, first
you're
of
hurting
all,
people by not voting for repeal.
Americans, ask yourself this question. Are there more people hurting and struggling today than there were 6 years ago when this passed?
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Companies are not hiring as many people. So people have lost their jobs. They have lost their doctors. They have lost their health care. You are paying how much more for your premium and how high is your deductible? We went from some people not covered, but still being able. Remember, the argument was not that people were dying. The argument was the hospitals are overcrowded because people are just using the hospital emergency room as their insurance and as their primary doctor. So nobody was dying. Nobody was dying. Who is hurting more now? You are hurting far more, and it's not just you. It's people across all spectrums.
And we've been told by several listeners that their premiums are $1,500, $1,600 a month. That's a house payment for some people. You can't afford that. You can't afford another $1,500 payment just to insure your family.
And then what's really
and
bad.
And then high deductibles
yeah,
on
high
top
deductible.
Of it.
You have a $6,500 deductible.
They're not paying for anything.
Right. I'm paying $1,500 a month, and then...
And my deductible is $6,500?
$6,500. I won't spend that.
Right.
I won't spend that much money. So all you have for $1,500 is catastrophic insurance.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That is absolutely unacceptable in America. It's unacceptable. And why is this happening? Because the government and the GOP and the DNC don't want to let go of their power. What's this woman's name in West Virginia?
Shelley Moore Capito.
Shelley Moore Capito. She already told you what you wanted to hear, but she asked you to believe her. She asked you for money, for time, and for votes. And now when you are hurting, she will not put us back to where we were and set it right and then say, okay, let's look at some real ways to actually fix things. Who else is on this list?
So if you take it, what we have now, there was 52.
Just looking for her Washington office number, which seems like it's 202-224-6472.
Okay, thank you for that. What was that again?
Like
I didn't
write
it down.
It seems like it's 202-224-6472.
Okay, thank you. I'll write that one down.
Yeah, so, write down 202-224-6472.
Okay. Write that down. That's the senator from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Now, she, of course, has already stated she's out on this. So she's out. That brings
Tell
you
her from, she should be back in because she needs to do the will of the people of West Virginia.
And she's already,
not her own.
She's already voted for it once.
Get back in.
Why? Why did you vote for? You were for hurting people before.
One of these people. I can't remember which senator it was. Of the names I'm going to give you here in a second, said a lot has changed since 2015.
What?
A lot has changed. You mean the president's there to sign it now?
Yeah,
and he actually wants this done.
That's what's changed.
That's changed.
That's
what
else
has changed?
You know what else has changed?
Premiums through the roof.
Yep.
That's changed.
Deductibles out of this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what's changed.
So if you have 52 to start. Then you go down to 51, losing Capito. So far, there's been statements from Portman in Ohio and not Cassidy in Louisiana.
They're not going to vote for?
Or excuse me, not Cassidy, Kennedy in Louisiana. that, well, we don't know. So they're he's,
all right. So let's
Portman
look
looks.
For,
I would say Portman looks like he's a no, but he is not stated.
Yeah,
yet.
Well, Portman is Portman.
But that would bring you to 50.
What's his number, Pat? Portman.
Senator Rob Portman. It would seem.
It would as seem though or as it is.
His number is 202-224-3353.
What, that number again?
202-224-3353.
I wonder if Senator Portman has an operator standing by for your call, if you would call.
202-224-3353.
Hmm. Okay, good. Thank you.
So then the other thing that throws a wrinkle in this, because that would bring you down to 50 exactly if they tried to hold this vote. Currently, Senator John McCain.
Well, but if you call 202-224-3353 and ask for Senator Rob or Rob Portman or one of his representatives and make your feelings known, I'm sure he's going to listen to the will of the people.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Considering, again, he's already voted for this. Yes. This is not asking him to vote over and over again.
We're not asking him to act in a way that is inconsistent with what he has done before. We're asking him just to do it now that it counts. That's it.
Act as if you meant it.
That's like, you know, that's like, I'm in the army and I'm going and I'm going through my training exercise. I'm learning how to shoot. Then you get down on the battlefield and you're like, okay, well, I'm not shooting. I mean, there's actual people on the other end.
Conditions have changed.
Which conditions have changed. I'm in a war zone. What the hell do you think you were doing, dude?
But how would you tell him your feelings if he wasn't in the room?
I would call this
number.
Well,
that's right. You could call 202-224-3353.
Okay, we're going to give you the names and the rest of the names, and I would hate to think that Pat might have the phone numbers too that you could call. But hey, Stu, did I tell you that the dollar was down last night?
You mentioned that.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you that North Korea looks like shaky. Have you heard about the guys who were on CNBC last week, and they were talking about that this fall looks really, really bad? Looks like kind of the conditions of 1929. Pat, what happened in 1929? The stock market collapsed and people were losing
their jobs
and their
bank accounts.
Yeah, but there was something else. Their big houses that they had bought that they shouldn't have bought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the really big ones that they bought.
The really big ones.
Instead of
gone.
Maybe
instead of
getting
modest,
something a little more modest.
Yeah. Anyway, Goldline can help you.
He doesn't seem to be enjoying this, does he?
He doesn't seem to enjoy this at all. Goldline has an exclusive report that maybe Stu should have read before he bought his house.
Yeah.
President Might Reagan's budget director, David Stockman, this report identifies five threats to the economy. Now, we could tell you about the trouble. We could tell you how you can prepare to make sure that if things go catastrophically wrong, you can do something about it. And one of the things you can do is call Goldline and get some gold. Now, for $2,500, you're going to get 3 months of price protection. So the price of gold goes down in the next 3 months. They're going to make up any money you lost on your $2,500. They're going to make it up with more gold. So you'd lose nothing. And the more you spend, the more protection you get, all the way up to 1 year of protection for a $25,000 investment. That is remarkable. Incredible. Nobody else will do that. Your 401k won't do that. Your IRA won't do that. The stock market won't do. Nothing will guarantee that you don't lose money in the year that what your investment was is the same or greater. Make sure you read their important risk information. Find out if buying gold or silver is right for you. But this is a limited time only, and nobody else is doing this. Protect your money. Call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Cause we have won. I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Cause we have won.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Let's go to Ed in Ohio, the state where if there is one senator you need to flip, it is Rob Portman, who said repealing Obamacare is just not good for the country. It's not going to help the people of Ohio.
Even though he voted for it already.
Yes. Ed.
But he said he would look at it. He said he would look at it.
Tell him to look at it really hard at 202-224-3353.
So, Ed in Ohio, how you doing?
Not bad, Glenn. How are you doing?
Very good.
The reason I'm calling today, you guys are really hitting it home here with the healthcare issue. I'm a disabled law enforcement officer that had to retire early due to injuries sustained doing my job. And I'm 51 now, and I get a letter stating from Ohio Police and Fire that starting in 2018, they're doing away with all of our medical coverage, not just for disabled police officers, but even guys who retire regularly. They're doing away with the orphans, the widows and widowers. All of their medical's gone.
And dumping everybody into Obamacare?
Well, that's what they're telling us, so we're going to have to go on to the exchanges.
Oh my gosh.
You know, when I try to contact Portman's office and the congressman's, like Johnson's office and stuff here, you know, we don't qualify. If you're injured in the line of duty total and you have to retire, you don't have to pay your federal tax due to a thing
you know what,
that they have.
Ed, hang on. I want one of my producers to get all this information. We want to look into this and help you in Ohio. Thank you so much. Back in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
See, this is where this is going to get really bad. Think of this with the call that we just got in Ohio. All of the cops in Ohio, all the people who are, you know, who have worked hard their whole life and they got crap pay, but they were promised retirement and good health care. And now the state of Ohio is saying all of our cops, we're dumping you into crappy Obamacare. You're going to have to go into the exchanges. So you lose that and you're about to lose your pension because the pensions were total frauds. What is going to happen to people, quite honestly, like Portman? I mean, Portman come out and said he's willing to look at the full repeal of Obamacare, but he doesn't think it's going to help the people.
No, it doesn't sound like he's inclined to vote for it, though.
Yeah,
it sounds like he's going against it.
Even though he already voted for it in 2015.
Yes, he's already voted for this. These guys, these Republicans, are going to come up with all kinds of problems. They already voted for it once. Now that you have a president who will sign it and a president who is saying repeal, forget about the replace right now, just repeal. Ask Senator Portman, you don't think this will help people in Ohio? I don't know. 8 years ago, I wasn't having this problem. 8 years ago, my insurance wasn't this expensive. 8 years ago, I had a police union that was paying for it. I told you when we were on Fox, I said, pensions are going to fail.
Yeah.
And when we started talking about Obamacare, I said, the unions are going to dump you into Obamacare. It's only a matter of time because what they have promised you is all fraudulent. And that was, remember, Obamacare was mainly AFL-CIO and SEIU. Those unions wanted this because they wanted this burden off of their back. And so they're dumping you into Obamacare. So the police in Ohio, you're just the first in your world to get this. But every labor union is going to dump people into Obamacare. Guarantee it. That way they don't have to be held responsible. It's not the union's fault.
Got to call Senator Portman. If you live in Ohio, you really need to call Rob Portman, 202-224-3353. That's his Washington number.
And if you live in West Virginia, what was her name? Senator?
Everyone's on it. It's not Capito. It's Capito. No, it's Capito until she votes right. Because Shelley Moore Capito.
or Capito.
Capito.
Yeah. Just think Capito the Speedo.
There you go. I don't know why we said that.
Right.
Those two are big. And by the way, Glenn, on your union's point, it's interesting to note that I think when this thing fails, what they will say is, well, it's not that, this failed. We were the ones that got you this amazing health care that's available.
they will say, you gave us these donations so that we could get you something like Obamacare, and now you have it. We don't need to cover you anymore.
Yeah.
They'll push you onto that with a smile on their face and expect you to take it.
Yes.
Unless you stop it.
And by the way, another big union state, I believe, is West Virginia. Coal miners. Mm-hmm. Unions.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, West Virginia is inexplicable that she would be first to come out against this. Donald Trump is pushing hard for this to happen. He's mentioned it even when they were negotiating the old bill. He said, why don't we just get full repeal and start from there? He's asking for it. The people of West Virginia gave Donald Trump 68% of the vote.
That's a mandate.
That is
a mandate to do what the people want you to do.
And I will say, you know who else you should call is Manchin. Because despite him being a Democrat, he knows that Donald Trump is incredibly popular in that state. And maybe you can flip him into considering it. I don't know. Maybe you can. He voted against it last time, but that's certainly a 2015 vote doesn't seem to hold anybody's feet to the fire.
So there's not a single Democrat, right, on board with repeal.
No, I mean, Manchin would be the only one you'd even consider trying, really. I mean, all the other ones are going
to
say no.
No, they have no reason to.
Manchin is
has anything
does have
the Republicans
motivation.
They built this bill so poorly that, and again, this is what we talked about, when I said I would not want to be the president right now, because you're looking at possibly a one-term president. This is what I said, you know, in 2016, 17. You're looking at a one-term president because he's going to, whatever he does to Obamacare, is going, it's going to implode on his term, in his term, and he's going to have to change it, and all change is going to be looked at as bad and uncomfortable. And so we have that coming. Now, what they need to do is seriously free up the free market. And we can do this. We can do this.
Manchin has a toll-free number. Is that a term you ever even see anymore? Because almost every number is toll-free, right? 855-275-5737.
Let me go to Ohio. Somebody else that Senator Portman says is not affected, really won't help his state if they repeal Obamacare. Jay, is that accurate? That people in Ohio won't be affected with or haven't been affected with Obamacare?
No, Obamacare has been nothing but a disaster, and everyone knows that. By the way, good to finally talk to you. I was at 912 and never got there.
Wow.
Anyway, I called Portman's office. It's going right to his machine, and it's not even recording the messages.
Jeez. Wow.
It's saying message canceled. It did it to me three times in a row.
Are you going to, well, it might be full already. Are you going to his local offices?
Yeah, well, I'll get that number.
I might be, I mean, I got that number in my phone. I haven't called that one yet.
So you should call his local office and also we'll give you an email address.
I got his email.
Yeah.
I've got this covered.
Good.
I've been with this guy for years.
Well, I mean,
and you're absolutely right, though. He campaigned on repealing Obamacare, and he's being a little weasel, using Pat's favorite term, and going at it from there.
I'll say this about Portman, too. What's important about Portman is if you can get Portman to somehow support repeal, he will give cover to other moderates.
Yes.
Portman's an important figure in the Senate. People do listen to him. And if you can win him over on this after he's come out already pretty much skeptical and leaning no, you might be able to keep some of these other people who will probably flake out in line.
So you might try his Columbus office. 614-469-6774.
Let me go to Phil in Colorado. Hello, Phil.
Hi, Glenn. Before I get started, I'd just like to say Doctor Who convinced me that bow ties are cool, and you've cured me of that.
Thank you very much, Phil. There's a compliment in there somewhere. I don't know if I'll ever find it.
Or not.
Thank you.
You've made me a better man.
Thank you.
So anyway, I'm a computer hacker in Colorado Springs, and I worked for 4 years.
Hold it. Stop. It's something usually you don't hear people openly admit that you're a computer hacker.
I am. Actually, I'm a computer hacker with a handful of really high-level security clearances. So I'm one of the guys that wear the white hat.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So I spent a number of years working for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and traveling a lot and helping federal and DOD clients to secure their computers. And I had awesome insurance because Hewlett-Packard is self-funded. So I didn't have to worry about Obamacare. for the past year, probably, I've been out on my own. I have my own software security consultancy, and my insurance, we just let it lapse. We just quit paying it at the end of June. It was $1,500 a month. Our deductible is $5,000. I make $180,000 a year about, so I can afford it. But I was talking to my wife, why? Why? Why pay an extra $1,500 a month tax that's doing me absolutely zero good? My plan, if I get really sick, if I get catastrophically ill, I'm just going to run up a multi-million dollar bill and declare bankruptcy. But other than that, going to the doctor, I'm just going to pay for it. I literally have been forced out of insurance, and I can afford to pay it. But it's the cost is just outrageously expensive.
See, I've got a different route. I have just taken I've just taken catastrophic insurance, so I'm not covered for anything but catastrophic. And I'll pay for everything up to catastrophic. I don't feel comfortable, you know, declaring bankruptcy and just knowing it in advance. But I'm not a hacker.
Isn't $1,500 a month and a $5,000 deductible?
That's crazy.
Isn't that catastrophic?
That's
crazy. And that's crazy.
So did you get fined, Phil?
No, not yet. I'm sure April 15th is not going to be fun for
Well,
me,
you should.
I've had insurance for half the year, and I've only been off of it for a couple of weeks. My wife is looking into those expense sharing, Christmas
yes.
sharing.
Those are good.
Yeah, MediShare is one.
MediShare is good.
That's one of them. So we're looking into that, and those to me seem like a pipe dream. The prices are really low and affordable. How can they work? I don't know.
Can we get MediShare? Let's get MediShare on.
Yeah, those are legitimate.
Yeah, they are legitimate. We'll try to get them on so they can explain. It's
a
actually
carve out of Obamacare, basically.
Yeah, it is a religious thing, and is working very well, and especially for people up in Ohio.
Yeah, no, it's actually really interesting. You have to, you know, go through their, you know, their whole, they have rules, like there's certain things you're allowed to do and not allowed to do, but it's kind of a cool thing.
It's like a co-op, is that what that is?
It's a cost sharing service. In Obamacare basically said for certain religious organizations, there's a carve out. And so many people who wanted to get away from Obamacare have taken that option and have done really well with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Phil. Let's go to Tamara in Ohio. Hello, Tamara. Is Senator Portman right that repealing Obamacare will just not really be in the best interest of the state of the people of Ohio?
Well, it might not be in Rob Portman's best interest, but it's in the best interest of the state of Ohio. Uh-huh. And I was able to get through to Senator Portman's email and left a message for him, or to his voicemail and left a message for him. And then I came on to leave an email as well. His website is pandering for our Obamacare stories. He has a link that says, please tell me your Obamacare story. And he says that big government health care was supposed to reduce the cost. Instead, Ohio's paying $100 more per month. And he said that is money that could be going toward retirement, groceries, and their children's higher education. Instead, it's going to cover President Obama's costly mandates. So I encourage everyone in the listening audience to get on portman.senate.gov, leave him a message. You can leave messages for any senator or congressman. You don't have to be in their state. And it would really help us, Glenn, if you could post that list on glennbeck.com. I commit that I will contact every senator on that list via their email and encourage them to be consistent and then challenge the audience to do the same.
Well, I will tell you, Portman and Calamari, what's her name again in West Virginia?
Yes, it was Calamari. Yeah. No, I'm going Calamari. I like that better.
Capito in West Virginia. Those two are critical. Everyone is all hands on deck. But those two are critical because they have already come out and said, I'm not really sure. She has already said in West Virginia she won't do it.
She's out.
And that's, I guarantee you, West Virginia, your pensions are gone in the coming years, as you're seeing now in Illinois. Your pensions are gone. As you're seeing in Ohio, you're going to be dumped into Obamacare because your unions have lied to you, and apparently your lawmakers have lied to you, because first they told you that you were going to save $2,500. Then they're telling you that they're going to repeal Obamacare. And we need your money, we need your time, and we need your vote. Then they vote for it when they know the president is going to veto it. Once they get a president who is not going to veto it, they change their mind and say, well, I don't know, it's not so bad. You let them know the truth, but hold their feet to the fire, and we will put the list of every single senator that already has voted for this bill. It's not a new bill. They've already voted for it multiple times. Why won't they vote for it now? Now this, Casper Sleep, tossing and turning, not sleeping. It is, there are times when you just hate going to bed. I never thought I would say that when I was younger. I understand why my grandfather was up feeding the chickens at 4 o'clock in the morning. They just couldn't sleep. And there's nothing worse than looking at your bed and going, oh, I gotta go to bed. And you don't want to. You want something that you look forward to going to bed in every night. Casper Mattress is probably that mattress for you. In fact, they have two high-tech foams that guarantee that you have a great night's sleep. You'll sleep cool, comfortable, and fully supported every single night. It ships for free in a box that you're not going to believe holds the mattress. Makes it easy to get it from your front door to where you want the mattress. I mean, you can carry it yourself. It's not a big mattress. It's in this little teeny box. It's bizarre. And then you can try it for a risk-free 100 nights in your home. If you don't love it, they will come and pick it up, take it away, and refund every single penny, no questions asked. I want you to try it for 100 nights for free. Free shipping, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck. $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com, promo code Beck. $50 off purchase of your mattress. Now, terms and conditions do apply. It's Casper.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, on tomorrow's program, we have somebody who can actually do more than just throw money at a problem. One of the guys who's on the front lines of fighting opioid abuse in America. And, you know, I hate saying this because, you know, it makes it sound like there are people who are abusing opioids, you know, and buying them on the open market, when I think what the real problem in America is you're getting addicted to them by your doctor. And then you just can't get off them. And it's a hidden shame for a lot of people. And then I think also a lot of people are, you know, being nefarious with them. But I think there's a ton of Americans that have been so overprescribed and are trapped. I mean, you know, the first time I ever heard of, fentanyl was when I was overprescribed and given fentanyl after a surgery. And it says on the box, for end of life use only. I know millennials that have been prescribed fentanyl who have a long time left in their life.
Yeah.
There's almost no going back from that. There's a real problem with opioid abuse in America, and we're going to address it, frankly, tomorrow. That and also more on the healthcare bill and what can be done. Tomorrow's program, don't miss it.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.